So now, second parak of brachas. Okay, now we're going to deal with, still dealing with Kriya Shema. We're dealing now with Kavana. Good? Hayakora b'Torah, a person's reading the Torah, v'igiyaz mana mikra. And he was reading, you know, he's just reading from a scroll, Rachumash, in Parshas Devarim there, Veschanan, and it happens to me that it was the morning time, and Kriya Shema time was, had arrived. Im kiven libo yatza, if he had kavanah to be, well, if he was mechaven libo, if he directed his heart, then he's yotzi. Vim lav, if he didn't direct his heart, lo yatza, then he's not yotzi. Now you have to
direct his heart.
I'll explain. I was being very ambiguous. It's a trick. It's very tricky to translate, because why? There's a big machlokas throughout Shas. If brachas tzrichas kavanah, if you need to have kavanah to do a mitzvah, meaning, do you need to have kavanah that you're doing the mitzvah to be yod to the mitzvah? It's a big machlokas. It actually chains down to the very end. Although the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch comes out, all the big three come out, actually, mitzvah do strich, mitzvah the Rush, the Rift, the Rambam, all seem to say mitzvah strichas kavanah, mitzvah paskan, lahalacha, lechadchila, you need to have kavanah, you need to have kavanah, you're doing a mitzvah, you need muchen mzuman or whatever it is, you don't have to speak it out, but you have to know what you're doing. So, if that's the pshat, so then keeping libo is easy. I mean, if you had kavanah to think, I'm now saying Shema, then good, if not, not. The problem is, many say, you don't need to have kavanah for yotzi. If you did it, you did it. You said Shema. What more? So, if that's the case, what's kivan libo? So they explain, that when you're reading, this case is someone who's reading to correct, reading a scroll to correct it for accuracy, and you know, when you're reading to correct for accuracy, you pronounce the words in the way that, let's say, you know, that you, because not vowelized, how you think it might be read if it were vowelized, let's say. So you might mispronounce the words just to articulate the letters more clearly. So if you mispronounce the words, if you're not mechaven es libo, you don't focus to say I'm pronouncing each word correctly, then you won't be yotzi. That's that shot there. Okay? Fine.
According to them, it says you don't need to. According to the thing that it says you don't need to.
Right, that's right. Now, by the way, I should say, there's a separate issue of needing kavanah for the first pasuk of Shema on top of it all. Halach l'maisa for a second. Mitzvah srichas kavanah l'chachila. You have to have kavanah for doing a mitzvah. You know, when you blow the shofar, I think I'm being kind of the mitzvah shofar. And for kriya Shema, an extra kavanah is required for the first pasuk. To have in mind what the pasuk means. I guess, ayin shulchan aruch sham. But you have to know what the words mean and what Hashem and Elohim mean. They have those kavanahs. They have to have both kavanahs for Shem Hashem, right? Both Adonai Kol and Bali Cholos Kulam. Okay, so Bal Cholos Kulam, I should say, yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning question is,
Mazkir means to call to be remembered, to mention.
I mean, wouldn't that be obvious if you can't remember, you've got to be thinking about it, and then you remember mentions on your left.
No, Hazkara, the Mazkir means to speak it out. You have to articulate.
Doesn't mean to remember
anything. No. Mazkir means to call to remember. Zocher would be to remember. You have to say it. You have to articulate. Yeah.
Just if you could mention, who brought the Tikkun Zohar?
The Rav brings it right here. They look the Rav on the spot here. He was both Shachem here. Okay? Fine. Now, the second part of the Mishnah here is dealing with interruptions. Okay? You're not allowed, l'chadchila, I should say, to interrupt saying Shema. Okay? But there are exceptions. The prakim, if you're at a perek, which we'll define in a minute, but it basically means between the brachas and between the three parshas of Kriya Shema, shom et ne'a kavod u'meshiv. You can interrupt out of kavod. If someone who you have a halachic obligation to be mechabed, your rabbi, your parents, anyone who knows more chachman than you actually brought down. So then you're allowed to be shoel. That means to initiate. I'm translating the word shoel here as initiate. Right? Initiate a greeting. Right? Hello, how are you? So you're interrupting your Shema. And also meshiv. Meshiv means to answer. So you're allowed to interrupt your Kriya Shema, both for kavod, whether initiating or answering. Just to speak out obvious here that the Gemara actually learns it as an obvious thing that it's a kol v'chomer, it's a kol shekein. If you are allowed to be reactive and proactive and interrupt initiating conversation, for sure you can be reactive and answer. It takes it as obvious, okay? So, but Rabbi Meir is putting him on the same level. To initiate and respond is the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda says he's a little more lenient. He says, be'emtza, if you're in the middle of things, in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema, in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of a pasuk, shol mepnei yira, to initiate, you'll need to have. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. I apologize. Right? I'm taking a step back here. But prakim shol. I apologize. Rav Meir says the prakim shol mepnei kavod u'meishiv. You can for kavod, you can initiate and respond. And in the emtza, in the middle of it, you need to have not just kavod, it needs to be yira. You have to have a level of yira. What does yira mean? For a second, we'll go back to it. Let's say yira means you're afraid they're going to kill you. It's a difficult shot. That's what Rav says. Okay, you're afraid they're going to kill you. So that you're allowed to interrupt even in the middle. And we'll go back to it in a second. Rabbi Huda says he's a little more lenient. He says ba'emtza. He says if you're in the middle of things, shol mepnei yira. You can, yes, indeed, you can initiate, of course, out of fear of death. Umeshiv mei kavod, but you can answer even for kavod. So he's a half a step down. You follow, it's like, ordered Mishnah here is ordered in a non-intuitive way, I think. He's saying, if you're in the middle of things, according to Reb Meir, you can only interrupt for Yira. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it depends what kind of interruption it is. If you're initiating, yes, only out of Yira. But if you're just responding, even out of kavod. Right? Good question. I'll answer in a second. Good question. I'll answer in a second. 100%. I'm just going with the Rav's Pshat. I'll answer that in just a second. I just want to focus on the structure of the Mishnah because it's not intuitive. And when it comes to Beprakim, when you're at the breaks, so this is now less severe interruption, distinct idea. So then he says, Beprakim shom mepnei kavod, the same as Rabbi Meir, you can initiate only out of kavod. But if someone says something to you, anybody, it's rude not to respond, you're allowed to respond. Anybody. And I should point out here, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that if someone, you're allowed to interrupt in the middle of your Kriya Shema to respond to someone, the Mishnah Berurah points out, of course, only someone would be otherwise offended. Your typical, right, Shema saying Jew knows what you're doing and would get it. Right? But if not, you have a non-prom sibling and they say hello to you and they're going to be offended or whatever it is, you're allowed to interrupt. That's the halacha.
Do you have to then say Shema again?
Great question. So when it comes to interruptions of the Shema, let's say even if it was for whatever reason, you had to stop. You had to go to the bathroom, get a drink, stop, catch your breath, whatever the story is. So the halacha is, in any hefsek, you can continue where you left off, provided the amount of time that passed isn't the amount of time it takes you to say the whole Kriya Shema, not to finish. In other words, if saying Kriya Shema takes 3 minutes for you, 1 minute per paragraph, and you're in paragraph two, and you got interrupted, you have a minute to go, but it doesn't matter. You could have up to a 3 minute interruption and continue on saying Shema where you left off. Okay? Now, going back to the question, the good question, which is, Pikuach Nefesh is a general principle. Of course, if you're at risk of life or limb, you know, death, so then you're allowed to interrupt. And do anything, really, right? Except for the Gimel Chamuros. So many Mephoshim say, no, it doesn't mean impending death. It means that he's going to hurt you in some financial or other way. He's going to get you and make life miserable. So then already you're allowed to respond. Okay, that's another pshat, probably a more easy pshat to read. But the Rav doesn't, for whatever reason, say it.
You say that if a person. Knows that you're going to do the Kriya Shema wouldn't be offended, then you wouldn't interrupt. What about the Mishnah Kavod?
So the halacha l'maaseh today, since the Talmud Chacham knows, you wouldn't interrupt. yeah. But if he doesn't, I don't know. I'm sure you wouldn't do it. But let's say, for example, you're late to shul and you're mumbling your Kriya Shema under your breath as you're walking down the street to get to shul. Okay? Now, and you're walking past the rabbi who never dreamed that's what you're doing, and he says hello to you. So I think the halacha then would be. I would think it would be you could then interrupt because he's not gonna, he wouldn't think that's what you're doing. You're just being rude to him. I'm making a case up, conceivably that's the halacha. Okay, Mishnah Beis. We're gonna define now where the breaks are in Kriya Shema. Elohen Bein Aprakim. These are the breaks in the different sections. A perek, of course, means a section. Bein Bracha Rishon LeShnia, between the first and the second bracha, between the two brachas. Bein Shnia l'Shema, between the second and the Pasuk Shema. Bein Shema that first parsha, Vayim Shemoa, and the second parsha, the Vilna Gaon here explains, like, this is very obvious, like the three sections of Shema. So he explains, you might have thought that Shema, the first pasuk, is a unit all to itself. That's the havin you might have, and therefore the Mishnah has to explain out to you, no, that's called the Emsa still. So, and Bein Vayim Shemoa Leviyomer, again between paragraph 2 and paragraph 3, that's a break. Bein Viyomer Le'emes V'yatziv, and between Viyomer and Emes V'yatziv. Now, and after you say Hashem Lokechem, then there's the word Emes. Okay, this is a world of halachic. Let's finish the Mishnah and get back to that point, okay? Because it's a world onto its own. Exactly the status of that. All right, I'll say it now. It's not so complicated. You can't interrupt between Hashem Elokeichem and Emes, because there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah which says Hashem Elokim Emes, and they wanted you to tie in the idea of Hashem's Emes to Shema. If you look there in the first paragraph of first chapter of Yesod HaTorah, you'll see that Einod Mulvado, Hashem's unity, how Hashem, it is shot in the pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes, that Hashem's Emes, being his, he is reality, capital R, is what the Shema means. And that's what Hashem is. He's not, there's nothing but Hashem. He is Emes. Emes means reality, not true, of course, and certainly that pasuk is obvious, right? So they wanted you to connect the two, and they wanted to keep that pasuk intact. Although, just speaking out again, the pasuk is in Yirmiyah is Elokim, and here it's Elokeichem. But they wanted to keep it intact. So there, they wanted you not to interrupt between Elokeichem and Emes. So we, of course, have a custom. Ashkenazim have a custom of saying Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and then we just pick up, right, Yatziv or Muna thereafter. I think Sephardim repeat Emes a second time. There's a machlokas amongst the Mefarshim if between Elokeichem and Emes is like Prakim, or it's like if it's like Emta and you can't interrupt unless, or not at all. There are those who say between Elokeichem and Emes, no way, do not interrupt in any circumstances. I guess saving death. Okay, so, but I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, there are those who say Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha is the son of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was bald. Karcha means baldy, bald guy, and he was hiding from the Romans, so they gave him his name. Tosos doesn't like it. Says, that's not nice, not likely. They would then keep the bad name up from making fun of Rabbi Akiva, let's say, and they try to bring some rye that he was too old anyways. Either way, I think most people say this is Rabbi Akiva's son. Lama kadma shema levayim shemoa. How come shema comes before vayim shemoa? El kadesh yikabla lav ol malchus shemaim techila, v'acha kach yikabla lav ol mitzvahs. Because before you can be makabel the ol mitzvahs of the consequences, reward and consequences of the second parsha, vayim shemoa, bad things happen there, or good things happen. I'm sorry. I should get this Kavanaki myself, because the Mishnah is here. It's hard to. Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yep. So Rabbi Yehuda, I apologize. I was speaking out the Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda when I was, but I didn't read it. I apologize. My bad. I'll have to do it better. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bein V'yom Lemes V'yatzev V'yafsik, you may not interrupt, and that was the Pshat. Either you may not interrupt at all, according to the Rosh or Bein Yonah. Okay, that's where you can't, no matter what, even for Yira. Sorry. Yep. Okay. And Rabbi Shuv Makarchas Pshat. He said, "What's the order of the parsha?" See, the truth is that the three parshias, the first two are in order. The first parsha Shema is in Devarim Vav, and the second parsha is in Devarim Yud Aleph. But the third parsha is from Bamidbar. The parsha Tzitzis is from Bamidbar. It's out of order. So now the question is: so why they choose this order? So he answers that you got to first be makabel ol malchus shemaim. That's Shema, Echad, and then after that you'll accept upon yourself the old mitzvahs of doing the mitzvahs, and then vayim shemo levayomer, then you first have to v'sheh vayim shemo is nolag bayom uvalala. When it comes to vayim shemoa, it says not just, it has lots of mitzvahs that apply day and night, like for example Talmud Torah, as opposed to vayomer is ena nolag ela bayom. The third parsha of vayomer is just talking about tzitzis, which says u'ri'isamosa, you'll see them, which is referring to things you do just during the day. Okay, I see we're over time. I'm going to leave you the question, which we'll answer. We'll pick up with tomorrow. I want to try to be punctual for you guys. Which is this: if ol malchus shemayim means, you know, the yoke of heaven, so he's the king. So what else could that mean besides do what he says? So then what's the second? Because Allah is, you're being makabel all mechus shemayim in the first parsha, then you're makabel the all mitzvahs. But what more could there be to all mitzvahs than he's the king, I'll do what he says? There's two different olos you accept upon yourself. What's the difference? If he's the king, you do what he says. What's the second thing? I'll do what he says. That's my question, and we'll, as Hashem, pick up there tomorrow. Yeah, what extra is there? He's a king, right? Of course he'll do what he says. Sorry? So we'll pick up that tomorrow. That's the question.